One topic that hasn't gotten a lot of attention during the presidential campaign is North Korea, which our next guest says could be the biggest threat to U.S. national security. Joining us is retired Admiral James Stavridis, former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO and Dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He was vetted as a potential vice presidential candidate by the Clinton campaign. Admiral Stavridis, welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to be with you again, Jeremy.
And why do you think that North Korea is the biggest threat to U.S. national security right now?
Yeah, I often say they're the most dangerous country in the world. And the reason is, as always, leadership. The leader of North Korea is very young, unstable, morbidly obese, probably addicted to opioids, and has murdered the next tier of leadership in a ruthless manner since taking over. So that's point A. And point B is he's already got nuclear weapons. We spent a lot of time this past year worrying about Iran's possible acquisition of nuclear weapons. Here's a nation that has at least half a dozen right now. So that's a very bad combination.
What do you make of the U.S. policy toward North Korea up until this point?
I think we've been adrift. We have not staked out a great deal of sanctions, coalitions that we should be building against North Korea. And frankly, it's understandable given the press of other issues around the world, including most obviously what's happening in Syria, but also Ukraine, the invasion and annexation of Crimea, other events in Asia, including the South China Sea. All of this distracts us. But looming in the background is a very dangerous regime with a fistful of nuclear weapons. We ought to be paying more attention.
And often here in the U.S., talk of North Korea quickly turns to China. Let's listen here to Donald Trump during the first presidential debate responding to a question about nuclear weapons.
We have to be prepared. I can't take anything off the table because you look at some of these countries, you look at North Korea, we're doing nothing there. China should solve that problem for us. China should go into North Korea. China is totally powerful as it relates to North Korea.
First of all, Admiral, what do you make of that answer?
I think it's extremely simplistic and not functional. We can't simply wave our hands, walk away from North Korea, and claim that this is somehow a Chinese problem to solve. There is a grain of truth in it, which is that China has a great deal of influence over the North Korean regime because they're effectively the economic lifeline for Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. So it's accurate to say China has to be a big part of the solution, but it's foolish to think that China in and of itself is going to solve that problem for us. It's going to require an international coalition. China will be a part of it, but collectively as a global society, we have to address this.
Isn't that what has been happening, though, up until now, an international coalition with China as a key part of it?
What has been happening up to now has been a ratcheting up of economic sanctions. What's new is the miniaturization of these nuclear weapons, the ability to deliver them at range on ballistic missiles, and now the fifth nuclear test. So we're in a new zone, which is going to require not only the economic sanctions, but I would argue also a significant effort in the cyber world to try and neutralize his progress, as well as building real military plans that are capable of reaching into that regime and blunting their ability to use these weapons. And that ranges from ballistic missile defense to offensive weapons. You see just over the last couple of days, a U.S. nuclear aircraft carrier on patrol nearby. So we're at a new stage. We're trending where we need to be. But I think this one is going to strongly be on the desk of the next president.
We also heard from Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate, Senator Tim Kaine, about North Korea. He was asked about it during the vice presidential debate by moderator Elaine Quijano. Let's listen.
Senator Kaine, if you had intelligence that North Korea was about to launch a missile, a nuclear-armed missile capable of reaching the United States, would you take preemptive action?
If a president should take action to defend the United States against imminent threat. You have to. The president has to do that. Now, exactly what action, you would have to determine what your intelligence was, how certain you were of that intelligence, but you would have to take action.
What do you make of that answer, and how likely, in your view, is a scenario like the one that was described by Elaine Quijano?
I believe the answer is absolutely correct, which is any nation under international law. And as you mentioned, I'm the dean of a graduate school of international law. We spend a lot of time thinking about this. Any nation that faces an imminent threat does not have to wait until an actual hostile act occurs. A nation can preemptively strike when given evidence of hostile intent. Senator Kaine is exactly right that the decision for the president would turn on the quality of intelligence. Well, as we all know, we had faulty intelligence that led us into an invasion of Iraq. In this case, I think that the broad spectrum of what we're seeing, the knowledge we have that the weapons are in place, the ability to deliver them at range, all of that would be backdrop. And if added to that were credible intelligence that we could substantiate, I think you would launch a preemptive strike against, in my view, both the nuclear weapon and the regime.
And what do you think the response would be if the U.S. were to do that?
Unfortunately, the reaction would be a lashing out of the North Korean military against South Korea. And that is complex for the United States because we still have 30,000 troops on the Korean Peninsula with our allies as a deterrent against such North Korean action. So unfortunately, Jeremy, I think we'd be in for a short, sharp conflict on the Korean Peninsula. I'm confident South Korea and the United States would easily surmount North Korea, but unfortunately, this would lead us down a path with thousands of deaths. So let's hope that we can move forward on a sanctions regime. Let's hope that China will be part of the solution. But let's be prepared in case those kind of measures are not successful.
What do you think is at stake in this election from a national security standpoint?
Well, broadly speaking, you're presented with two very different visions of the role of the United States in the world. The Trump vision, as best I can understand it, involves building a wall with Mexico, high tariff barriers with many nations, including China, encouraging Japan and South Korea to arm themselves with nuclear weapons, and a very close relationship with Vladimir Putin, who supports a war criminal dictator in Syria. That's kind of one vision. On the other side, with President Clinton, you see someone who's been a Secretary of State, operated at the highest levels of government, and has built a campaign around the idea of international coalitions, better interagency cooperation, private-public partnerships, and effective strategic communication. One is a vision to come home and build a kind of isolated fortress America, I suppose, and the other is to continue to be a global leader. I think it's a pretty straightforward choice in terms of foreign policy options.
I want to ask you one more thing while we have you, Admiral, and that is the U.S. destroyer USS Mason has come under attack from missiles several times over the past week or so off the coast of Yemen. There haven't been any injuries, but what do you think of that? Is that a wake-up call, or how should the U.S. respond?
Well, the reason those missiles were fired is they came from a group of insurgents who are supported strongly by Iran. So the wake-up call is that the Iranians will continue to support insurgencies as they are in Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and in Yemen, which are seeking to attack Sunni Arab states that are allies of the United States. And so the United States should not be intimidated, should continue to operate. That destroyer, USS Mason, and I commanded a similar destroyer, USS Barry, some years ago, was operating in international waters and responded effectively to the C-802 missile that was fired at it. But we need to realize there's going to be real risk for the United States in being engaged. But it's imperative that we continue to do so. If we don't, we will cede this space to the Iranians, the Russians, the Syrians, in the case of the Levant, for example. That's not the place we want to be as a nation.
That's Admiral James Stavridis, former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO and Dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Admiral, thank you so much, as always.
Pleasure to be with you, Jeremy. Bye-bye.